are you? Oh, that's weak. How are you? Guess what? We got one more year. Congratulate the person next to you that they made it into a new year. Y'all made it. Ben, where you been this weekend? That might be helpful to conversation. You're here. Now, guess what? Because you're still here, you're available for God to do something great with. In January, if you're visiting with us, this is a good time to visit with us because we go over what Hillview Heights Church is about. We're very direct here. If you want to hang out here, here's some things I can promise you. You will hear it straight. We're straightforward. We're politically incorrect. I'm not ooey gooey for this reason. The truth will set you free. Now, we don't want to punch you with the truth, but we do want to tell you the truth. Does that make sense? A little difference, isn't it? Okay. We're not excited that you're going to hell. We're excited the possibility that you would go to heaven, okay? That's our driver here. We believe that Jesus can change your life. How many of y'all believe that Jesus can change your life? And so today, I wanted to look at the first of the year. I said, okay, man, we've been doing this thing for 20 years. For 20 years we've been ministering together. Can y'all realize we've been together for 20 years? This will be the year of our 20th anniversary into a new vision. Now, guess what? That's a short amount of time in the kingdom of God. That's like, blip, that's it. I mean, when you got a God that does everything, going to be here for all time, blip, that's not even blip. It may just be beep. But you know what? God has done some really cool things. So I want to just give us some warnings, okay? And then I want to make sure, Cheryl, that we stay focused, okay? Because here's the first thing I want y'all to know. Not so much in this service, but especially the last two services. The next 20 years, man, part of our leadership, we're going to be in this mode. We're going to be handing it off to the next generation. Okay, so you're going to hear a lot about the next generation. So I want to thank you as a church for being very faithful to making sure that the building's paid off, man. You got that done. We got a facility. So here's the way I look at it. We have a field. There is a field that is available to play on. You know what I mean? God's prepared it. He set it up, man. It's ready to go. Now we got to decide, are we going to play? You know, we're going to put it to use. We're going to make it work. Are we going to allow God to use us in every possible way? So the building's done. And so now the next question is this. Will you be used by God? All my life, I've been waiting for this great revival. You know, I started ministering, all these people talking about a revival. I used to hang out with some people, they always wanted to be under the glory spout. You know, they live, and I finally figured out what they were. They were religious addicts. And they would go to these festivals and these moments to get their high for the week or whatever. And I just really want to tell you the truth. The world is exhausted with religious people. And so, you know, I want to say this graciously, but, you know, if you really want to be religious, we're going to irritate you here at Hillview. I mean, we are an irritation to religious people. And I pray that we will be so until we leave the earth. And the reason is because Jesus was a severe irritation to religious people. And so I'm not going to give you a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm going to give you a who. Hillview's not about do's and don'ts. It's about a who. Who you follow. Will you follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean that Jesus Christ loves you so intensely that your whole life is reshaped by this revelation of relationship? That is the God that we follow here at Hillview. I do not apologize. I know of no other way than Jesus. So if you're going to hang out here at Hillview, I do not preach that there's a whole lot of different ways to heaven, and you kind of find the one you're comfortable with. If that's your belief system, I'm not going to interrupt that, but guess what? You're going to have one hell of a time, literally. Being truthful. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, see, you can't follow Jesus and follow anything else. I had an old motorcycle buddy of mine. He gets it better than most church people do. He and I hung out, rode bikes together, and I asked him, I said, man, you ever going to come to church? I said, you'd be okay. You can wear your leathers or whatever in the church I'm in. It's cool. He said, nah, not yet, preacher, because, you know, I'm serious about this thing. He said, the way I look at church, it's like knocking into a motorcycle gang. I said, really? I need to hear this. He said, yeah, you know, like if you're in a motorcycle gang and you wear those colors, then you stand for what those colors mean. Once you put those colors on your patch, you have a group of brothers and you defend those brothers. He said, when you wear the colors, he said, that's a serious commitment that cannot be violated. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, when I decide to receive the color of the blood of Jesus, I know that changes everything I'm about. I looked at him and I said, man, I wish my church was as committed as you are to the understanding of the gospel. He said, you know, once you get the colors, you can't take that jacket on and off. It's on. And most of the time, it's even tatted in. It's permanent. Well, if you really look, how many of y'all realize that Jesus has tattooed your soul with grace? And you can't remove it. Because he gave it. Now, it has a responsibility. Does that make sense? Amen. Has a responsibility. Now, life's going to change. How many of y'all found out that life's going to change? No matter what you do, life's going to change. How many of y'all are that far along? No matter what I do, life's going to change. Life changes. Life moves on. Life develops. There's always different things, different ways, different moves, different situations. Is anybody here going, well, I'll tell you what, I think I can keep things the same forever. Some of y'all may think that's going to happen. It's not. Wrong. Joe Murley, it's not going to happen. Guess what? You're going to change, Joe. What do you think? You already have. You will continue to do so. We will continue to be in the motion of change. Let me blow y'all away. This will really blow y'all away. When I went to seminary, they had just created this wild and crazy piece of technology. It's called a personal computer. I had a PC-30 IBM. And I had IBM because I went shopping for these computers. I didn't know anything about computers. And they kept telling me everywhere I went, this is just like an IBM. So guess what I went and got me? An IBM. So an IBM PC-30. I remember, Elizabeth remembers this, on Mondays, early in the morning as I went to seminary, I would load up my PC-30 computer in the back of my car seat. Take it all the way up to seminary, set it up, you know, and then on Friday I would dismantle it and put it back there. Guess what that was, Klein? That was an early laptop. Now, here's what blows me away. 2011, I carry a phone in my pocket called an iPhone that's got about 20 times more computing power in my pocket. I'm telling you, Timmy, in my pocket. It's that big right there. You can take pictures of people with it. You can video with it. There's probably other things that I don't even want to know you can do with it. It is in my pocket and it's got 20 times more computing power than all that big old stuff I had in the back seat of my car. It took up my whole back seat. And it's in my pocket. Have things changed? But let me tell you what hadn't changed. Jesus. I want to give you a few points. Go with me to John chapter 4. This is a rhythm today. This is attitude today. There's an attitude at Hillview you got to get a hold of. All right, now we're key on attitude. Sam, if you go play a ball game and you think you're kind of going to win, put down a big L. Attitude is crucial. I do not lie to young people. I think you ought to win. I think you ought to win. I hate all this mamsy-pamsy participation stuff. You know who talks about that? People that lose. I never heard Bobby Bowden talking about participation. You know why? He won. I never heard a great coach talking about participation points because they win. You hear people that lose. Oh, watch this. People that win say very little. People that lose talk all the time. Which brings me up to Jamie Ward. You know, yesterday, you know, Jamie had a bad day yesterday. Just a bad day. You know, I've been trying to help Jamie since he came to Hillview, and you know, I'm a big SEC fan. This is bowl season. So Jamie printed up all the bowls, you know, and the Big Ten, that's his conference. You know, Ohio State plays in the Big Ten. And I've told him for a long time, I said, you know, he always tell me about Ohio State, what a great team they are. And I said, well, you know, if you took an SEC team and played them in a high school conference, they'd win every year too. I said, it had a lot to do with competition.
And then it was like the night, you know, the day just turned bad. There was some Big Ten teams playing SEC teams. I mean, it wasn't even game. I mean, it was a throttling. It was a thumping. I mean, it was almost a massacre. You know, Alabama played in Michigan State. I mean, it's a massacre. I mean, it was like 62-2 at the end of the game. I mean, it's bad. You know, I mean, it's bad. I mean, I was even hoping they'd score just because I hated to call Jamie with such glee on my face. And we text each other the whole time. Now, see, we've integrated. I know how to text during a ball game now. I'm coming alive, folks. I'm getting there. You know what, though? You know what? None of that matters in the long run, does it? None of that matters in the long run. But you know what? There were some of those teams, they went to play and win. So I want to ask you a question. What's your attitude going to be as a church? Are we going to have an attitude that says, you know what? I want you to meet Jesus Christ. I think we ought to have that mindset. And we ought to not worry about what somebody else is doing down the road. We got to ask God, do it with me, Jesus. Now, let me show you something that's pretty cool. I don't think God, now this is just my opinion, you can disagree. I don't think God's calling us to spend $2 million, see if we can get a big coliseum, see how many screens and lights we can set up, and how loud we can make the music so the world might know him. We've been doing that for 20 years, and I've come to the conclusion that doesn't work. I mean, here's my conclusion. Why isn't the world getting better if that's going on? So I went to John chapter 4, and I believe I was guided there by the Holy Spirit. Because I really asked the Lord, I said, Lord, to launch off January, what does our church need to hear? And we begin to hear the Spirit say, you know what? Stay focused. Stay what? Focused. How many of y'all just need to stay focused? You know what? You know the best way for Elizabeth and I to stay married? Love each other daily. It's not buying each other big stuff or going through all that hoopla. And I'm just not real good. I don't like slobbering on her in public. You know, I mean, I remember when we used to date, she'd go, how come you don't hold my hand? I said, leading reason, I don't want to. I don't do that in public. I just don't like all that touchy stuff. It's not me. Now, if that's you, that's fine. I mean, I don't think you gain anything because you do that. I don't have those kind of situations. I'm just not a real, I mean, I just like, I don't like that in the mall. You know, I don't sit there and watch TV and go, I need to hold your hand through this. Does that mean I don't love her? And then I'd always tell her this. I said, those people doing all that hugging, I said, you watch, they'll be divorced in a year. And she goes, why do you say stuff like that? I said, they're doing convincing hugging. They're trying to convince each other they liked each other. I said, if they just liked each other, they wouldn't have to do that kind of stuff. Truth? Be real. Be real. How many of y'all understand there's got to be an attitude to be real? God loves everybody no matter what their dilemma. Do you hear that? Now, hold on. That's easy to hear. That's hard to live. Because here's what I want you to know, man. I believe Jesus Christ will save anybody. We believe that at the core of Hillview Heights Church. We believe the gospel message is for anybody. So guess what? Every Sunday you come to Hillview Heights Church, you're going to hear about the cross, and you're going to hear about the resurrection, and you're going to hear about sinners getting saved. And if you don't like that message, there are plenty of churches you can go to here and never hear it. They'll tell you about your diet. They'll tell you about how you need to live a moral life. Well, here's what I know. Why live a moral life if you're going to hell anyway? I say if you're going to go to hell, live a sinful life. At least get something out of it. Why be confined to all those regulations and end up in hell anyway? I tell people all the time, man, I want to be drunk if I'm headed to hell. Maybe to take the edge off of it. But if I'm headed to heaven, hold on. If I'm headed to heaven, is anybody here headed to heaven? This January, I'm going to wake you up. If I'm headed to heaven, doesn't that change the way I live? I don't know about y'all, but I dress different going to Florida than I do Duluth, Minnesota. In fact, if I get an invitation, you want a free vacation in Duluth, Minnesota, I'm like, here, give it back. I don't want to go to Duluth, Minnesota. If I never have to go there again, that'd please me.
But if God said, go to Duluth, Minnesota, I got somebody up there that needs to hear about me. I said, Lord, can we make it a short trip? Save them quick. Better yet, Lord, why don't you bring them down here on vacation to Florida and they stop in Bowling Green on the way through? No, guess what? We got to go where God calls us to go. Now, I want to go over just a few things out of John chapter 4. Here's the scenario. There's a woman at the well. There's a woman at the well. And I believe that there's always a woman at the well. There's a man at the well. There's somebody at the well. And church, here's going to be our big challenge. Here's going to be our big challenge. Are you going to go and become what God's already made you to be? Let me go over that. Are you going to go and become what God's already made you to be? Now, here's the scenario. The religious people are upset. John 4, 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more than John. And what's their response? They're upset. This was the most amazing thing to me as Hillview took off. As this church began to grow and God began to reach people, guess who got upset? It was not the sinners. I never heard anybody over in sin locations of our city going, that Hillview Heights church, I just can't stand it. Guess who was talking? It was all my church buddies. They were like, I tell you what, that Pharisee crazy. He don't tuck his shirt in. He ain't got a tie on. He wears a t-shirt. He's got a mullet. He rides a motorcycle. We saw him standing there with people that were drinking beer. They ought to get it right. It was cold beer. Ain't just beer, cold beer. Why? They didn't understand the pastor. I believe Jesus will reach anybody. Now hold on. There's a difference in saying that and living that. Because when you believe that Jesus will reach anybody, you're going to be in some places that church people will not go. They won't go there. They're Pharisees. They go, oh, we can't go there. Now, how many of y'all glad to know that Jesus is willing to gain? I told you he's about winning, wasn't he? He's about gaining. Jesus didn't come so you could go to hell. Jesus came so that we might go to heaven. That's a part of the message. The message is not this. I would like for you to participate in Bible study so that you might be refined. No. Jesus says, I want to forgive every bit of your sins so that you might be brought to a full and abundant life so that you might realize what I've made you to be. That's a whole different story. Wait a minute. Jesus has changed everything. So guess what we got to do? We got to go tell the message. Every believer, I don't care where you're from, you got to tell the message of Jesus Christ. Tell me y'all believe that. Is that real? Share it. So here's what I believe, guys. So y'all going to hear, you know, I know when I was young, we got together, you know, other Christians got together. It's always going to do something grandiose. This is just where I am now. Here's the most grandiose thing you can do. Share Jesus with somebody. Now, what if everybody who followed Jesus did that? You'd change the world. But we've spent more time preparing to tell someone about Jesus than we do actually telling people about Jesus. I've been in these revivals, and Lord have mercy. The prep work killed you before you ever got to the event. I didn't realize you had to organize prayer with such strategy. We ought to try just praying. We ought to try, instead of practicing revival, we ought to just have it. Instead of, be in the everyday what God's called you to be. Now, that's kind of what Hillview's about. Does that make sense? Because I want you all to know what you're getting into if you decide to stay another year. I kind of figure January and Hillview's like, y'all got to make a decision to see if you want to stay another year. I do that every year. I take Elizabeth out on anniversary now, every year. And I always ask her if she wants to re-up for another year. Some years it's been close, let me tell you. I said, are you good for one more? And you know what I figure? You keep re-upping, eventually you run out. Amen? That's the way my dad got me through college. I'm not kidding. He'd go, I tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd go one more semester and quit after that. And I came in one day and I said, I tell you what, I'm quitting after that semester. He said, go check with a guidance counselor. I think you got enough to get out. You know what he taught me? Instead of looking at the finish line, just do what's in front of you and you'll end up where you're supposed to be. Just do what's in front of you. Now, a lot of us never do what's in front of us, so we never see what's out there ahead of us. Isn't that true? We get worried about what's in front. No, just do what's right now. See, Jesus lived this way. Well, you know, Jesus, he did, watch this. I want to show you something in John chapter 4. Jesus did not get involved with the controversy of the Pharisees. And I just want you to know, as a pastor, I'm not being ugly to my colleagues, but to just be quite frank, I really don't care what they're arguing about. That's not what God's called me to. God's not called me to sit in a seminary and argue theological premises. And he may have called them to do that. I don't know. I don't know all that God calls people to do, but I know what he's called us to do. See, I'm not worried what he's called about everybody else to do, because I want you to know what he's called Hillview to do. We're supposed to go to Samaria. We're Samaritan's church. We're the world's church, but we're Samaritan's church because we believe a crazy thing. We believe anybody could be saved. Just look at your neighbor and tell them, it could be you. Just go ahead and tell them, it could be you. It could be you. It could be you. Come on, it's January. Y'all can play a little bit. Some of y'all look like you want to go to First Hillview or something. You're going. Some of y'all are going, man, I can't believe he uses some blunt terms. I want you to actually get this. That's why I use a little slang when I preach, so that you'll actually what? Get it. Because you know what I know? Today I'm going to challenge you to tell it. And here's what I know. You can't tell it till you get it. See, I think a lot of our evangelism is talking about Jesus. Klein, if you tell somebody about Jesus, will they listen? You better believe it. Klein had about as many boats pull up as Jesus did when he got baptized. Right there on the Sea of Galilee. Can Jesus save anybody? Yeah, because Jesus is willing to save everybody. And I hope you all, as a group of young people, I hope in this church you get that. Because right now you're going to have a split, because you got a lot of your generation. They want to sit around and contemplate who God can save and who he can't save. Well, my question is, how do you know? How do you know? Bad questions lead to bad actions. Let's just go tell it and let God take care of it. If you notice, God never tells us to figure much out. Have you all noticed that as you read Scripture? God never goes, I want you to contemplate the heavens and figure out the dimensions. I've never read that in Scripture. He just goes, this is where you're going. This is what it kind of looks like. You follow me. Is that not a rhythm of Scripture? You what? And then you ask Jesus, where we're going? And how does he answer you? Follow me. And he said, well, Jesus, when are we going to get there? We sound like kids in the back seat of a minivan. How many of y'all have ever been that kid in the minivan? Come on. What do? When you go on family vacation? Ms. Watts, you didn't do that to your beautiful father, did you? When are we going to? How many of y'all ever done that? Gary, did you ever do that? I did it every 5 minutes. Are we? All right, y'all with me? Now let's look at Jesus. How did he proclaim the kingdom? It went on in everyday life. So I'm challenging us, this is interesting, that the church not be a place that we come to, but it be a life that we release. The church cease to be a place and really be what it really is, the movement. John chapter 4. The Pharisees were upset about God's movement. Jesus was on his way. Now, there's three things Jesus always does. Check this out. As Jesus is on his way, he is bringing the way to those who are off the way. Isn't that Jesus' constant prayer? He takes a step on the way to bring his way to those who are off the way. Now, if Jesus did that, Mr. Rice, what do you think? Aren't we to be in Jesus' likeness? So in the same way, as we are on our way in life, our job is to tell and to talk about the way in Christ, so that others who are off the way or out of the way might be brought into the way. How do we know? Jesus is the I mean, y'all believe that? That's a core Christian belief. I will tell you this. You're going to have a hard time arguing with God when God says, I'm the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what are you going to tell him on the day of judgment? Well, Lord, I had a real problem with that because I had some other friends that really didn't believe in you, but they were good people. And I think you ought to let them in because I said they were good people. How do you think that's going to wash on the day of judgment? I know this frustrates a lot of us because most of us are arrogant deep down inside. God does not care what we think. Thank God. God doesn't care what Steve Ayers thinks. You know why? He knows Steve Ayers is a moment of vapor. He knows that I am dust in the wind. Y'all remember that growing up? Some of you are old enough to remember that song by Kansas. All we are is what? That's the truth. The older you get, the dustier you get. You notice that? I mean, they singing the truth. It's for a moment. Now, hold on. Jesus is going somewhere. He is on his way back to Galilee, and he's got to encounter a problem. How many of y'all realize that probably sometime in this new year, you will encounter a problem? Hello. There's a problem, and it has a name. It's called Samaria. And guess what? The Jews didn't like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like the what? If you just want to know something, we're not the first culture to deal with racial tension. In fact, ever since mankind, humankind has been created, guess what's happened? Somebody's not like somebody. Y'all remember Cain and Abel? We got two brothers, and it's just a matter of time, and we have the first drive-by shooting in the garden. Why? Because Cain wasn't getting what he thought he deserved. Pull it down. He didn't get the attention he thought he needed. Y'all think that's simple? But people that become jealous and envious and bitter will kill you. Leads to wars, leads to massacres, leads to government destruction. Because they think they what? Deserve it. But we have a God that's willing to give it. Does that make sense? Here's what's incredibly cool. Jesus enters Samaria. That's a big step. Guess what most of the Jews did at that time when they came to Samaria? That's exactly right. They walked around that town. Why? They might get some Samaritan on them. It was that tense. I don't want to be around Samaritans. Now, Jesus does something really cool. How many of y'all believe Jesus is perfect, Son of God, never sinned? Okay, but check this out. How many of y'all believe Jesus broke some rules? Jesus will break our rules to show God's truth. He does it right here in John chapter 4. Here's what's really cool. The rule was Samaritans don't talk to Jews. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And women and men don't speak in public. And guess what Jesus does? He comes up. There's a woman at the well. And guess what Jesus does? He says, can I have a drink of water, please? He was tired from his journey. He says, can I have a drink of water, please? And guess what the woman says? How can you talk to me? You, a Jewish man, and I, a Samaritan woman, because the Jews do not associate with what? Samaritan. Hello? But guess what God was saying? I don't see you as a Samaritan, and I don't see me as a Jew. I am a Savior, and you are a sinner. So I'm going to encourage you in this new year, bring the Savior to sinners. Y'all okay with that? How many of y'all know any sinners? Y'all know anybody that sins? Just, I mean, raises hell. Can I make it plain? Y'all got anybody like that in your life? Hey, just raise hell all the time. I mean, think about it. How many of y'all know anybody that lies all the time? They just lie all the time, lie all the time. Any of you girls know anybody that talks about each other, anything like that, says about each other behind their backs or anything like that? Garrett, you know anybody like that? Y'all have these encounters? Probably going to have one after I got done with this sermon. Some of y'all go, I can't believe he said that. Or some of y'all say this, he made me mad. Well, go talk to Elizabeth. I do that on a daily basis with people. I mean, watch this. I just want to show y'all, if we really want to live this deep spiritual life, you know what we got to do? We got to unpack our selfishness so that the world might see God's glory. Unpack our selfishness so the world might see God's glory. You know what? They don't need to see us in a coliseum with our hands up. They probably think a wasp got after us or something when we're doing all this. But you know what they do need to see? They need to see our hearts so freed of ourselves that God can freely move his way through us to them. So here's what I want to challenge you to. You got to go tell it. Jesus is telling it to a woman at the well. Now she's shocked. I'm going to speed the story up. She's shocked because Jesus will speak to her. Think about how many of y'all need to speak to some people that are not supposed to be spoken to. We got stupid rules like that in our culture. You know, I grew up with this hideous notion. I mean, you talking about unbiblical, that there was a black church and a white church. Where did we get that? The Bible don't even talk about white people and black people. Did y'all realize that? They don't even mention it. Why? It's Jews and Samaritans are the issue then. There's not a tension. We got a black church and a white church. How crazy can we be? There is just church. It don't come in color. It comes in truth. Hello? So Hillview, we're a church of many colors. Amen? That sounds biblical to me. You know why we're a church of many colors? I read the Bible. Y'all remember that story about Joseph? What kind of coat did his daddy make him? He didn't make him no black and white coat. He didn't make him no plain coat. He made him a coat of what? How many of y'all worship a God of many colors? Yeah. My God lives in Baskin Robbins, man. 31 flavors. I ain't got no vanilla God. I ain't got no chocolate God. I got Rocky Road God, bubblegum God. I mean, he got all kinds of flavors. Amen. And Baskin Robbins, guess what? They make up flavors all the time. Hold on. I'm going somewhere with this, guys. God loves people. How many of y'all glad to know God loves people? And I want to say something that's very dynamic here. At Hillview, man, we don't believe anybody is left out. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't know what I've done. It's really bad. It's really bad. How many of y'all ever feel like that? Came just really bad. Really bad. Here's another thing I saw the church do at one time. Church used to throw divorced people out. Church used to be hard on divorced people. I remember back in the 70s, people would be whispering, you know what, and women had them big hats at church. They'd go, so-and-so got a divorce. People would ask me, is your church speak in tongues? Yeah, gossip. They always, y'all know, y'all grew up in the South. You know what I'm talking about. Them religious women, pantyhose rubbed together. You know what I mean? You hear walk down the aisle. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Used to scare me as a kid. Old Sunday school teacher. We had one woman, I thought she was going to catch on fire before she got down the altar. I ain't lying. Y'all laughing because y'all heard the same thing. You see, now you know you're a sinner just like you pastored. You thought the same thing too. How many of y'all ever sat there in church and thought, I wish she'd just shut up? You know what the problem was? I said that one time as associate pastor. You'll have a deacon meeting when you say things like that. I told y'all about that time I voted on a toilet paper amendment, didn't you? That's crazy. I went to a church, they voted on toilet paper. What you gonna do if the vote fails? I mean, the stupid stuff we do. You know, we'll go get leaves outside? Why? So I thought it was a big joke, and I thought people in church were humorous, but I discovered very quickly that Baptists are serious about their toilet paper. Because I made an amendment to the motion. I said, Brother Moderator, I'd like to make an amendment to the motion on the toilet paper motion that's on the table at the moment. I said, I want to make a motion. We move to Charmin. Quilted sheets. Because I said, that stuff we got in there right now, I said, you can sand your car with it. I said, we need some good stuff. I just want y'all to know, if y'all ever get called to ministry, do not do things like that in a business meeting. Because I found myself Monday morning staring at some old deacons. And they said, boy, we didn't think that was very funny. I said, what? They said, the toilet paper thing. I said, I noticed y'all voted the Charmin Amendment down. They said, we take our business in church very seriously. Well, I just stayed quiet because I knew I was fixing to be out of business if I said anything else. But you know what? I was a young kid, and guess what I thought to myself right there? Goodness, I am in a church that's got more of a heart for toilet paper than they do lost people. Never saw anybody baptized there because we're too focused on voting on toilet paper. God could care less about our arrangements. But boy, he sure has invested his blood in his direction in our lives. So I'm going to ask you in 2:11, are you going to pick up what Jesus does? You know what he does? He meets people at the well. He talks to them. He's not supposed to talk to them. Religious folks said, don't be talking to those Samaritans. He talked to them. Guess what he said? When she gave her response, I can't believe you're talking to me. You a Jew. I'm a woman. You know what Jesus said? If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink of water. And you know what I'd do? I'd give you a drink of water. And the water I give you would cause you to never thirst again. You know what was standing in front of her? The possibility to quench her thirst. Let me go quickly here. You know what the problem with sin is? You can never get enough. How many of y'all found? How many of y'all have ever sinned before? How many of y'all have ever gotten to a sin? Yeah. How many of y'all have ever told a lie? Anybody here ever told a lie? Come on, how many ever told a lie? What's the problem with telling a lie? And then what happens when you start lying? I mean, you might have a phone now that helps you out with it, but you know, if I tell Steve something, Elizabeth something, Mike something, Joe something, Ralph something, all of a sudden what? I forgot who I told what, who, what, and where. And I'm about half dyslexic. I can lie backwards. Y'all ever seen that? I mean, crazy. So guess what I found it's better to do? Just tell the truth. Because you know what? People are going to even be more angry when they find out that you what? Lied to them. You can never get enough. That's the problem with sin. You drink the first cup of sin, it takes two cups to equal the first cup, and then it takes 10 cups to get back to that first cup, and eventually your life is wiped out. In fact, she got excited about this new water, and she said, hey, where do I get this water? He said, hey, I'll give you some. He said, go back and tell your husband, get your husband, come back, and I'll give you the water. Hold on, we got to get real with where we are. You know what she said? She said, Jesus, I have no husband. How many of y'all ever just tell enough to get by? You know what I look at this verse? You know what I say? Jesus will take a little confession and take you the rest of the way. In fact, Jesus didn't scold her. He said, you're quite right. You do not have a husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with right now is not your husband. Y'all hold on to your seat. Jesus is talking to a woman that's shacked up. Somebody call the board of elders. Excommunicate this guy. He is violating religious dignity. He's talking to a loose woman. True or false? You let me go talk to somebody like that, and I go to somebody in the parking lot. You see Pastor Steve, he talks so, you know. Here's the way we do it in the country. Now she gets around. You know, we start. We always speak in tongues in the South. Yeah, I heard about her. Heard she's over. Ooh, we make noises. We make noises. You know what she really is? Sinner. You know what I am? I'm a sinner. She had five husbands. Count them. Five. And guess what Jesus did? Hold on, I'm about to close. Don't miss this. He stopped and offered grace. He didn't call her a hussy. He didn't call her any names that we use that are very derogatory. You know why? Because he created her. And what he knew is she had lost her way. He didn't push her in the well. Gosh, I'm so glad that this dude, what a religious guy, didn't meet her. I mean, some of the religious people I know, they'd have shoved her down the well. Especially if they were a member of her church. Get out of here. I mean, I'm glad to know we worship a Jesus that doesn't say, get out of here. I mean, you ought to pray. He doesn't say, get out of here. He does not say, get out of here. I mean, the Bible. You know what people hate about the Bible? It's true. I remember I was on the AM station over there in Russellville, Kentucky. They were doing an interview with me in Russellville, Kentucky. This lady called up and she said, Pastor Steve. I said, oh, this is going to be a difficult call on the radio. She said, my church kicked me out of church because my husband, who had been with me for 35 years, decided to find another, and whoops, he was gone. She said, the church that I'd grown up in all my life said that I could no longer participate with them because I got a divorce. She said, scripturally, where do you come down on that? Well, I'm on the radio and I didn't want to mess up, you know, broadcasting in Russellville, Kentucky. That could be a syndicated broadcast nationwide. I did. I looked up real quick and I said, God, help me. God answered back, boy, you're slow. John 4. I went, that's right, five times. I said, ma'am, if you turn your Holy Bible, King James Bible, over to John chapter 4. The King James Bible said that she had been five times wed. I said, that means she'd been divorced what? And guess what Jesus said? Welcome to heaven. Guess what the Pharisees said? Stone such a woman as this. Jesus said, let me recreate you. She was doing something that we've all done. How many of y'all have ever looked for love in the wrong place? That's all she'd done. She'd just done it five times. If you've been married five times, you ought to come to the conclusion you're not real good at being married. You know, you got to come to some conclusions. And so when you realize that you're not real good at something, what do? I told you the first part of this message, God really wants you to win in life. So what do? You ask God for his help. You know what Jesus did to that woman? He gave her grace. Now, here's where people misinterpret grace. When somebody forgives me, that doesn't make me want to go out and do sin more. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to sin less. You know, when I forget, Elizabeth had to forgive me a whole lot, and she forgives me for not doing something. Guess what? Not all the time. But I'm better after you forgive me of getting that done, aren't I? I mean, sometimes I surprise you, like I will bring the trash down. And it's just the way I get greeted. Who brought the trash down? Because I know it wasn't you. I said, I trained the dog how to do it. What do you think about that? No, I mean, forgiveness changes more than regulation. And Jesus goes on to two things we're going to be focused on. Next week, we're going to get really pointed at this. Spirit and truth are the worshipers God now seeks, okay? I know today I didn't go verse to verse to verse to verse to verse in John chapter 4, but I wanted to just set a tone today of what we got to stay focused. Because here is going to be the greatest temptation. Y'all ready? Look at your neighbor and say, this could be possible. Go ahead, Jennifer. Tell Heming back there. He'll need to hear this. This is what could be possible. We cannot worship what God has done. And that'd be a great temptation here at Hillview. We can look back and say, man, God, you did some really cool things over the last 20 years. Well, guess what? If we start worshiping that, that's all the cool things we'll see. I'm not worried about the 1990s. They're over. Hair is flatter now. It's 2011. I'm not worried about the first decade of the 21st century because guess what? It just concluded Friday night. I tell you what I am worried about. I'm definitely worried about the next two decades of the 21st century and how we're going to get the gospel, how we're going to tell it to the next generation so they can tell it on. That's right. So Samuel, understand this. This year we'll be in the field house kind of putting things together. We're fixing to come out at the top of the third quarter. I'm a third quarter man. Here's what I believe. In the first 2 minutes of the third quarter, you will determine the second half. We're coming into the third quarter. By the way, I am not tired. I'm wrinkled, but not done. I'm sore, but still can go. And you know what? We're going to come out in that third quarter harder, faster, more committed, more dedicated, more praise, more teaching, more worship, more in your face with the loving grace of Jesus Christ than we have in the last 20 years. Now, guess what will probably happen? We'll have some people on the boat go, well, I just can't take it. Somebody took my seat at Hillview. You ain't got a seat here. If you want a seat, it'll cost you a lot of money. Come see me. I'll figure out a price for your seat. It won't be cheap. You don't have a seat. You have a life. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something. I really would like for you to give up your seat and let somebody else sit there for a while and listen. Some of y'all have listened to the gospel enough. That's not your problem. You've never lived it. You can tell me about it. You can tell me what other people say about it. You can tell me other people's testimonies. What about yours? I'm going to show you the difference. Lord, we live in Bowling Green. We got a restaurant in every nook and cranny in this county. Have y'all noticed that? Did y'all realize that restaurants put restaurants here in Bowling Green? And if we eat it, then they give it to the rest of the United States. Did y'all realize we're a test site? Yeah, that's how much we eat around here. We're a test site. And then we got a church on every corner because somebody's got mad at somebody and been led by God to start another church. We got church buildings and restaurants. Do we have Jesus moving up and down our streets? Now, isn't there a big difference when you talk about a restaurant or you've been to a restaurant? There's a big difference if I got to tell it like this. You know, Rich, if I look like this, well, yeah, I went up there and it's kind of a good restaurant. Now, if I go to that restaurant, especially if it's a steak restaurant, and man, I put my steak knife on that beautiful filet, kind of pull back the knife like that, that thing just breaks loose. You know, it's just the right color, and you put it in your mouth, and it just dissolves in your mouth, and your tongue wants to beat your brains out to get another bite. You know, that kind of steak, you know, I mean, it's going. It's going. I mean, you know, this is the steak of all steaks. As soon as I finish that steak, guess what I do? I tell it, man. I tell it. I call myself and tell you what the best daggum steak right over here. I mean, it's at Joe's Barbecue Bar and Grill. And I'm telling you, I know you're Baptist. Just don't look at the beer. And just eat this steak, best steak you ever seen in your life. I can tell it. Why? Because I've received it. Hold on. I don't know. Some of y'all been in the journey with Jesus a long time like I have. Man, the church ain't telling it. And maybe it's because they hadn't received it. I mean, just everything I've received good, I've automatically talked about. Nobody had trained me on it. Like when we had Blake, man, he came out of the womb. I had him just like he's like a football, man. I came through the delivery room doors. Look at this. Look at this. When we had Clacy, I had her like it going, oh, my God, my God, my God. I got a daughter. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I mean, her first breath, Elizabeth was in, but she was there. And I looked and I said, I'm going to tell you what, your first breath, young lady. I am concerned about who you're going to date. The nurse remembers that. I did it right there. Because when she came out and she was missing an attachment, I thought, oh, man, what are we going to do now? I said, man. I was bewildered, wasn't I, Elizabeth? I mean, I was wiped out. I knew how to handle boys. You know, smack him upside the head and get them going. But a daughter, I already knew she was smarter than me. She could con me because she could look at me with her eyes and go, Daddy, don't you think we need to do this? And I go, well, yeah. Go in there and ask your mom. I think I could probably consider it. Then here comes mom. How could you say yes? Yeah, I don't. Then you got two of them teaming up on you, and you're at the mercy of God. Makes you want to throw yourself in that well sometimes, I'm telling you. But God says, not yet. Listen to me. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. He'll be listening. I love you guys. I love you guys. I'm glad you're here. Let me tell you some things from the bottom of the Spirit of God that I know. God sent you here. You're not in this church because you decided to come. God sent you here. Those of you that are sold out to the core gospel that goes on in this church, I've never had you come by my office and say, hey, listen, we kind of want to be at Hillview. Here's something I like about Hillview. You either like it or you hate it. I like it that we're hated. We're hated by lukewarm people. That's a good hate. They're too serious. I've heard people say about Hillview, they're too serious. Or they're not religious enough. I'm just straight up, I love you. I'm not going to be a religious guy. Ever. Never. I'm not going to give you a bunch of little hokey dokey little rules and regulations. And that's what you want. But the day I do that, Sean Pugh, let me tell you what happens, brother. I have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And said that the Holy Spirit is not qualified to redesign your life. I ain't doing that. I'm going to trust God with you. Because you know what I know? God can do a better job with you than any of us can. How many of y'all believe that? You know what? Listen, Crabtree and I work together. We work together in the ministry. But Crabtree, I trust Jesus with you. I don't trust you. You don't trust me, do you? I wouldn't trust me, so I hope you wouldn't trust me. But hold on. We can trust who together? Jesus. Now, this is real. Nick, you fixing to get married. You and Andrew fixing to get married. Now, that's, marriage is serious. Do you realize that? Because Jeff will shoot you if you get a divorce. Do you understand that? This is life or death for you, Nick. I'm telling you. Now, listen to this. Y'all trust Jesus with each other, you'll never be divorced. It won't even be a possibility. I'm telling y'all the truth, but you got to trust who? Are we getting it down to where it is? I feel the Holy Spirit in this place right now. We're going to trust Jesus. And guess what he's going to do? Always come through. Now, some of y'all need to be saved today. That's great. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you're the woman at the well. Maybe you're the man at the well. You've had five wives. And you're going, maybe this one will work. How many of y'all found we just don't work? Listen, I don't want you to wear yourselves out. Here's the number one con. Humans can't change other humans. True or false? Just be married for a month. Elizabeth can't change me. I can't change her. We can't. You can't change your kids. How many of you parents found that out? Is that not frustrating? Now, you can confine them and regulate them. But eventually, they're going to get out of the cage. And they're going to be, what you know. And so, I have adult children now. I said, listen, you have the freedom to be stupid. Here's the only deal. It's on your tab. Stupid's on your tab. Enhancement, we might help. Stupid, pay stupid tax. Because you know how I quit being stupid? As stupid. Let me get more accurate here. I got tired of paying stupid tax. How many of y'all have ever had to pay stupid tax? Yeah, you go run your credit cards up like an insane person over stuff you can't even remember you bought. Guess what you're going to pay? Stupid tax. Now, you pay the stupid tax. Guess what you won't do the next time? I'm going to send that in to President Obama. That's a good idea. That's the only tax he's left out, stupid tax. I'm going to call him up and say, listen, Mr. President, sir, I got a solution. Just charge a stupid tax. We'll be out of debt in 6 months. True? Well, because we've all sinned and not done a good job, let me tell you what. There's a good grace. There's a cup of grace waiting for us today. Now, there are going to be some people who decide to receive Christ today. If you've never been baptized today, I want to encourage you. Would you come and talk to a pastor and say, listen, I've been following Jesus. Well, let's get honest. Have you? If we're going to follow Jesus, don't you think we ought to do the first thing he asks us to do? And that's what? Be baptized. That's the first thing God said. Listen, repent of your sins, believe in me, and be what? Baptized. Yeah. So here's what we say. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad to receive the grace of God, but I'm scared to do what he asked me to do first thing. What? That don't make a lick of sense, does it, Deason? That's like playing the drums without sticks. There you go, Tyler. You got it. So some of you need to get baptized. Listen, let me show you how important baptisms become here at Hillview. And I just didn't, Lord, I went to a Baptist church and didn't know how important baptism was. Boy, there's something. It seals your understanding. God's okay. We're the ones that need that sealing of the Holy Spirit. They say, wait a minute. Yeah, my sins are forgiven. I have a new life, now live it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Second prayer today, for those of you who are already following Jesus Christ, you know under the grace of God, I want you to come and pray that you'll tell it. Okay? That you'll begin to do what? Here's been my prayer, that God will loosen the tongues of Hillview. Not in the house of worship, but at the well. The tongue needs to be loosened at the well! When you say, hey, can I have a drink? Well, I'm out of Diet Pepsi. Really? Well, if you knew what I had, You wouldn't even think about a Diet Pepsi. But what you got? I got the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who has changed me forever. Amen? All right, y'all been great today. Thanks. Guests, thank you all for enduring. If you don't ever come back again, we love you, and thanks for being here at least once. We used to have T-shirts, but we ran out of money for them, so we don't have them anymore. I survived. Listen, I know some of y'all been waiting it out. You say, when is Ayers going to calm down? I hope never. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm just noticing this. The older I get, the crazier I get. I thought I was going to settle down, but I get crazier. You know why? I feel a time crunch. See, Erica, there's those 85,000 people that don't know Jesus Christ. Okay? So, I mean, I just want y'all to hear my heart today, where we're going, man. We've been praying as pastors. Listen, Sean, you got that heart, man. It started happening to you this fall. Big Pew came out and he said, I'm frustrated, man. I want everybody on that football team to be baptized. And I went, now you got it. I want you to be frustrated. I want you to feel it. I don't want to raise you in the ministry where I teach you how to cop out of your responsibility. I want your gut to hurt when you preach and nobody comes to the Lord. Mine does. Every once in a while, we'll have a week here where nobody comes to Christ. And I tell you what, I'm not fun to live with that week. You know why? Because I know there's 85,000 people that don't know Jesus Christ. That may be more than that. Here's what I know, Crabtree. It ain't less than that. That's the problem. How many already received Christ? There are going to be some people today who receive Christ. Some of y'all need to come for baptism for the first time. Do it at the first of the year. Let's get on with 12 months of living out our faith. Amen? It's 2:11. What's going to happen this year? I have no idea. What about you all? I know this. If we stay together, you know, if we stay up on the earth, if everything goes good, Sherry, I'm going to be a year older this year than I was last year. I know that for sure. I'm going to be married for sure. Isn't that right, Elizabeth? Yeah, see, she shook her head this way. Well, I don't know if we're going to be married or not for sure. We might not be here. Listen how quiet it gets. Y'all going, oh my God, I can't believe he says things like that. What, reality? See, here's what I'm bringing you to the point of. There's only one thing permanent. It's Jesus. Anything in our world can be turned around in a millisecond. The only thing permanent is Jesus. Stand with me. The Jesus that we have talked about today is real. Now listen, don't move. Hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. Today, there are people here that God brought here today to receive Christ. And I want y'all to start praying. Man, if you're a believer in Jesus, you ought to say, dear God, whoever it is today, please, may they hear you clearly. That ought to be your attitude at the altar. Don't worry where you got to go. Where's God going right now? And let's ask the Lord to come into our lives. Amen. To speak to you. To speak to you. All right? Let's pray. Today, Jesus, you have brought people here that you love dearly. And you know who you are. You know who God's speaking to directly today. If you've never asked Christ in your life, why don't you tell him, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to repent of my sins. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, I'm as good as anybody in this room. You are correct. I agree with you 100%. But I have not met a human being that's kept the Ten Commandments. I've never met a human being except one named Jesus Christ. It kept the Ten Commandments. So you may need to ask him today, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. So receive him. And come and talk to one of the pastors just so we can know that, you know, what God's doing in your life. If you know you've received Christ in your life, then you need to follow him faithfully in baptism. That's a as a part of being obedient and responsible. If you've never done that, do that. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I was baptized as a baby. Listen, I don't want to take anything away from that, because you know what I believe? Your parents loved you so much that they confirmed you with that water and said, man, I want my child to know Jesus. And now that you can make that decision for yourself, I think it is absolutely a wonderful confession to say, God, I did receive you. I have repented on my own of my sins. I know you're the source of my salvation, and you're baptized in the name of Jesus, buried and risen. If that needs to go on today, please come. Let's get that taken care of first of the year. Because you know what I know? You can't tell it till you get it. And so let's start and make sure we got it. And if you know you got it, you've got it in you. So maybe you need to come to the altar today and say, God, help me tell it. But I want to tell you something about people. They have a hard time listening to you if you don't live it. In fact, I've been in a prayer for about 4 years that we'd put all of our bumper stickers up and our t-shirts up and all this jazz. And we'd actually follow the scripture, and they would know that we followed Jesus by our love. Those people are so incredibly loving. God had to do something in their lives. So if you're the woman at the well who feels like you can't be touched by Jesus, think again. Drink the water. If you're the man that thinks you have done so much that God could never reach out and give you a drink, think again. I read you the Bible today. John chapter 4. When Jesus was here literally on earth, he touched what the world said was untouchable. And he took what everybody else thought was cast away and made it worth heaven. Praise be to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this altar is open. And Christ is available to anyone who will repent of their sin. Let's tell it, let's live it, let's embrace it, let's receive it. But right now, come on and let the Lord minister to you at the altar, and we'll close the service here in a minute. Come on, come on, come on. Most important moment right now, people who receive Christ, come on. Come on, let them receive it. Come on.